Amen. I tried my best to give the microphone back to him, did once, and try to talk him out of it, but you know, brother-in-laws, you can't talk to them much. And I think even Brother Gene Rowell tried to help him with some leadership, and he wouldn't follow that either, would he? So I don't know. We'll just have to do the best we can, but I feel like what the Lord would have me to preach is going to be found in the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. I know last year we preached out of this passage in Acts 27. The Lord has used this chapter in my life greatly. And I tell you, I appreciate that good preaching, Brother Robert. Not all circumstances are negative. Not all circumstances is bleak and dark. Thank God for that. Amen. Not everybody's left me. You know, not everybody's against me. Amen. It's not all a valley. And I thank God for Brother Robert just preached. Lord allowed us the privilege to see his whole family get saved. And his wife and children and get saved and serving the Lord. And that's that fruit that remains. That's that fruit that remains. And I think about that and, oh, what a blessing that he is to me, and what a blessing that message, my soul. I thought, my goodness, I dread following that. I really do. But the Lord knows what we need. Acts 27, I'm not going to be real lengthy in the reading of the Scripture. There's a lot that we could read, and you're familiar with it, but I'm interested in one verse particularly. But let's just start back up in verse number 9. Let's just start in verse 9 and read a few verses. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. I'm going to ask my brother Rick if he will lead us in prayer. I'd ask you to pray for me and with me as well today. O Lamb of God, we come in Jesus' name, pleading the blood of Christ. Cleanse us, God, from sin and from anything that would grieve or hinder the Holy Ghost, inwardly or outwardly. Father, we pray that you'll speak to me, speak through me, Lord. God, bring to my attention things I need to see and say. God, if you don't speak, there'll be nothing said. Lord, there'll be nothing heard, nothing said. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to direct your attention back into verse 21. The Bible says, and this is the first time that Paul spoke after verse 10. Verse 10, Paul speaks and says, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage. And of course, they didn't hear him, and Paul never said another word until now in verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. Now, as I've studied this out, and by the way, the Lord had spoke to my heart. I don't remember how long it's been since God really let me get in Acts 27. I preached a couple of messages here. One last year, preached on Bogged Down by the Bottom and Beat Up from Behind, and preached here at Welcome on a one night, Wednesday night or something. I preached on Quiet Time and a Stormy Time, and God moved through here, and that God gave me several messages out of Acts 27, and this particular message, this particular thought, I have still yet to this day not ever preached. I've not preached it at our church. I've been wanting to preach it ever since. That's probably been a year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years. And I've been wanting to preach it, but God just said no. But God says it's time to preach it. So, you know, we're just, here it goes, amen. But I notice in this passage, what caught my attention was the different times the word loosing or loosed kept reappearing in the Scripture. Even in our text verse 21, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed. Should not have loosed from Crete. And then I noticed another word that also reappears throughout the chapter in one form or another, and it's also in our text. And he said, you should have not loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. In this chapter, Paul, in one hand, is addressing their looseness. And then the other hand's attaching what they'd lost with it. And I believe what he was saying would be the title of our message of losing through looseness. I believe that there's much loss comes through looseness. And I may get ahead of myself right here, but when a storm's coming, one thing you'll automatically think about is, I need to get loose. The devil will tell you need to get loose. That is the way to escape a storm, and I believe the whole chapter would bear it out that looseness is not the way to deal with a storm. In fact, if they'd have listened to God's man and stayed tied up with some convictions and standards in their life, they would have avoided much hurt and damage. The cry of today's religious world is looseness. Most people today are not wanting to find a church that's still got a little soundness, a little tightness. And I'm not talking about tightness in the spirit, but I'm talking about trying to stay with what works and stay with the old-fashioned way. Most people are looking for a loose preacher and loose preaching and loose singing and loose churches and loose ministries. Oh, I couldn't tell you in the 18 years that we've been at Rogersville, how many people have come and gone and visited, and boy, they love the singing, and they love this, and they love that, and they even love some of the preaching as long as it's dealing with looseness. You know, shout it out, and glory to God, and hallelujah, and I like all that. But every once in a while, you have to deal with that looseness. And I believe this, you know, if you don't want the preacher to preach it, don't live it. Amen? Because when you live it, you put the preacher in a situation to have to deal with it. But I wrote this down about how that the crowd, the voice of the crowd is loose. The voice of the crowd in verse 11, nevertheless the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Paul said, don't get loose. The preacher said, don't get loose. And then here's a crowd saying, we need to get loose. The voice of the crowd is a cry for looseness. Brother Willis, two Sundays ago, Sunday before last, had a man in our church, and he's been getting loose, been getting slack, and everything. And he was standing there in front of the communion table after the sermon. He said, preacher, you know, he said, there's a lot preached around here I just can't hardly line up with. He wasn't talking about it not being right. He's talking about he just didn't want to bring himself to want to line up. He said, there's just a lot of preaching around here that I find it very hard to line up with. And one of the ladies of the church, she stood and testified. She said, I found out, having been a member of Rogersville Baptist Temple for a short period of time, you have to stretch to be a member here. I like that myself. But I've had people to tell me, preacher, when I'd ask them, what are you looking for in a church? And they'd say, well, I'm looking for somewhere we can be comfortable. I'm looking for somewhere we can just kind of, you know, and just sit down and no pressure and no problems, no difficulties, and just, you know, they're actually boil it down. They're looking for a place they can be loose. They're looking for a place that they can be loose. And this young man that was telling me that about that, the things preached, you know, and he believes it. He said, oh, it's a truth preacher. It's just hard to live. It is hard to live when you don't want to live it. It is hard to live when you choose to live after the flesh and you want to ignore, like they did here, what the preacher's preaching and go your own way and do your own thing. Amen. And his boy's lost, by the way. And we've been praying that he gets saved. And his boy come close around while he was telling me this. He said, he kind of turned his back kind of toward his boy there, and he kind of whispered to me. He said, you know, I need to be careful what I say. You know, he said, I don't want, and he called his name, you know, I don't want him to hear this. And I said, you need to be more concerned about what he's a seeing instead of what he's a hearing. Amen. He looked at me like, you know, I can't believe you said it. And I just whispered it to him because he didn't want to hear it. I said, what about what he's seeing? He's seeing you being unfaithful to church. He's seeing everything being a priority over the house of God. He's seeing he comes to church and sits on our pews. He hears what's being preached. He hears what's being taught. And then he sees mom and daddy going the opposite direction of what the man of God is preaching. And then he was worrying about him hearing him say it, whispering a few things to the preacher. I'm talking about the crowd, the voice of the crowd. Cries, loose, let's get loose. We don't want no ties. We don't want no restraints. Secondly, I just thought about this too. There's the voice of the circumstances. The circumstances said, well, soft winds are blowing softly. Looks like a good day for sailing. Let's just get loose, preacher. Oh, yes. Amen. You have to watch circumstances because sometimes the circumstances what may seem to cater to your loose desires and loose direction. Come on now. You see people seem like they get loose, and the more loose they live, seem like the better it goes with them. And then you got a crowd over here trying to live right, and they're struggling. You have to watch that voice of the circumstances in verse 13 when the south wind blew softly. Why would we want to listen to the preacher Rackley when look at the circumstances? The Lord's a blessing us and we're wanting to get loose. The Lord's blessing us. Look at the winds and the sunshine. You better watch the voice of the crowd and the voice of circumstances and then the voice of the course. The voice of the course in verse 13. And the Bible said, and when the south winds blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. In other words, hey boys, looks like we're going to be able to go where we want to go. We're going to be able to travel where we want to travel, go where we want to go, and our destiny, where we want to end up. You better watch that. You better watch that. And then the voice of calamity. You better watch that voice, because if you get to listen to that voice, it'll lead you in a loose direction. Voice of calamity. When the storm clouds rolls in and the wind starts blowing and the difficulty starts rising in your life, and all of a sudden you're going to get to thinking, you know, I just need to get loose. I just need to get loose. Amen. But looseness is not the way to deal with the storm. Loose is not the way to deal with the storm. Look at verse 13. I mean, there's several references in the chapter about looseness. Verse 13, they loosed from Crete. Loosing thence. They loosed from Crete. Verse 19, another reference to being loose is the Bible said that they cast out with their hands the tackling of the ship. Things that are normally tied down and things that are normally essential for the journey, here they are cutting all of that loose and throwing it away. So we have another reference there to looseness. And then verse 21, our text, the Bible talks about them when Paul said, you should not have loosed from Crete. And then verse number there's several more. Verse number 40, the Bible said there that when they had taken up the anchors, and that word taken up the anchors means to cut them off. It doesn't mean they pulled them in. They actually cut them off if you study that out. So there again you see a loosing taking place. Amen. A loosing. And then on down in verse number 40, and they had taken up the anchors. They committed themselves unto the sea. Watch this. And loosed. And loosed the rudder bands. The very essential to driving the boat and controlling the boat's direction. They just cut the rudder bands off. A lot of loosening going on. And the devil will get you to focus. That's what you need to do. But thank God that there's a man of God that said, I want you to know it's not just going to be a bunch of loosing going on. It's not just looseness you're going to have in your life. But I want you to know that I perceive that this voyage is not just going to be getting loose. If you get loose, I want you to know there's going to be hurt. And there's going to be much damage. Not just of the lading of the ship. Right on down through there, that there's just going to be loss associated with your looseness. Boy, I believe the heartbeat of a true man of God is that he don't want to see his people getting loose. Oh, I've dealt with young people over the years when I see them getting loose. And I think a pastor has the rights to be able to say to a young lady or a young man at the house of God, you know, when he sees error or straying or heading in a potentially dangerous direction, I think a man of God ought to be able to say to that young lady or man, I'm concerned about you in this area. This is what I'm seeing. And speak a word of caution and a word of concern, because a true man of God don't want people to be loose. Don't want people to be loose, amen. Oh, yes. I've had parents to get mad at me. I've had parents to chew me out because I spoke a word of concern to a child. And I said, I'm not trying to parent your children. I'm interested in pastoring your children. And if I could get you to be a partner with me, we might can reach and help your child. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's a lot can be preached here, a lot can be said, but there's a lot that's said about loosing and loss attached in this passage. And a lot of churches are building their ministry on looseness. Their music's loose. Their message are loose. Their morals are loose. Their modesty is loose. Their marriages, I'm seeing more and more, are loose. I'm telling you, I'm hearing things, seeing things that I never thought I'd hear and see from people that I'm seeing them from. I mean, I was talking to a man this week, and he was talking about a great man of God that if I mention his name, everybody in here knows. I said, how's he doing? He said, he's in jail. I said, what? In jail. And I mean, and I thought, how can a man go from a fire-breathing, thundering man of God with the respect of thousands to seeing his life completely unravel? Brother, you know what's behind it? Looseness. Behind every broken home is looseness. Amen. Somebody's got loose when the home falls apart. Amen. Behind every collapsed ministry is looseness. Boy, I want to tell you, the cry and the voices that we hear in the ministry today is to lead us and influence us. If you weren't as tight in this area, amen, you wouldn't have these problems in trying to get us loose. Trying to get us loose. But most churches today are built on it. Most people are looking for it. The churches in our area are, my friend, are these contemporary churches and these non-denominational churches that don't preach against nothing, don't say nothing about nothing, and everything's off wonderful and hunky-dory, and those churches absolutely are just booming. And the emerging church that's coming rapidly upon the scene, you know, is booming. Are you listening? So we're in an era today, we're in a time today when pastoring and having a ministry that's built upon the Bible in the old-fashioned way, Brother Hardin, that you've been so in the many years of your life are quickly becoming out of date and not popular, and people are not looking for it. And used to, if you're a liberal, you're odd. But now, if you're a Bible believer, you're odd. You're odd, amen? But the word here, loosed, a couple of times we find it, I want to mention it, Luke 4 and verse 5. Luke chapter 4 and verse 5, if I'm not mistaken, this first mention of that word usage there. The Bible said, and the devil, here it is, taketh him up. Taketh him up. So we find the first mention, usage of the word loosed, you have somebody else in charge and leading you. It's used also in Acts 9 and verse 39 about Peter. The Bible said, and when he was come, here it is, they brought him. So a storm had come in Paul's life here in Acts 27. And we find that in this storm, there is really a purpose behind it. The devil's trying to lead people in the route of looseness. Devil's trying to take people into a route of looseness in order, my friend, to destroy. Amen? No doubt about that. And all through the Bible, I mean, listen, you can preach on this. Adam and Eve, they got loose, and look what they lost. David got loose, and look what he lost, his son. Samson got loose, look what he lost, his sight and his power and his strength and his testimony. Lot got loose, look what he lost. The prodigal got loose, look what he lost. Eli got loose, and look how he lost his sons. Naomi and Abimelech got loose and went to Moab, and look what it cost them. Just name a few. But all through the scriptures you find people, when they got loose, they suffered loss. Amen? I don't know, the message maybe just to encourage people to watch out for that voice of looseness. Watch out for that tendency of looseness and getting quiet about matters and not stand and not be real and so on. And could I say this quickly in this passing, that don't confuse looseness with liberty. Don't confuse looseness with liberty. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to just get loose, and which is really a flesh life, a fleshly life, and they disguise that looseness with a Bible word, liberty. But and that's what the Galatians were doing in Galatians 5:13. When Paul told them, brethren, you have not been called unto liberty. Only use not, or you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Don't use your liberty for a disguise, for looseness. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and verse 16, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Amen. Say, preacher, let me ask you a question. If I'm out in left field with the message and the direction, how long has it been since you heard anybody in your church give up anything? How long has it been? I mean, really? How long has it been since you heard anybody stand up and say, you know, the Lord's been really dealing with me about this in my life. The Lord's been really putting His finger on this in my life and putting me under conviction in my life about this matter and this habit or whatever, and I want to give it up for Jesus. When I first got saved, it was every service or every revival, Brother Melton, that's people giving up stuff. But you don't never hear that no more. Have we all arrived? Have we already done give up everything that needs to be give up? Have we already arrived? Then what's the deal? We're not interested in it. It's what the deal is. We're not willing to pray, Lord, what is it that you want out of me? What I've seen in the Scripture is that when God wants to fill you, you've got to give Him some room. But don't confuse looseness with liberty. Well, I've got liberty. No, you'll never have liberty to be loose. Never. Had one fellow tell me one time, said, you're a legalist. They don't even know what that is. Most people don't. And so you're a legalist. You know, because you try to preach right, try to live right, dress right, and listen to the right kind of music and all kinds of things. And they say, you're a legalist. I said, well, if I'm a legalist, you must be an illegalist. Amen. That's right. But don't confuse looseness with liberty. Number two, and I could preach on that more, but don't confuse grace living. Don't confuse grace living with living worldly. Well, preacher, you know we're not under the law. We're under grace. Don't ever excuse grace living for loose living. Grace living, my friend, is holy living. In fact, let me give you what the Bible explains it as in Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen? That's what the grace of God does. The grace of God does not encourage looseness. Jesus was the grace of God personified, and He wasn't loose. Amen? Oh yes, so don't confuse looseness with liberty. Don't confuse grace living with living worldly. Well, how many people does that? Well, preacher, I'm under grace. That's why I'm loose. I'm not going to go to a church that preaches it straight. I'm under grace. They've got a false concept of what grace is. Grace will teach you to live right. Grace will teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and teach you also to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. A third thing I thought about is don't put looseness under the umbrella of love. Boy, how many people's doing that today? Don't put looseness under the umbrella of love. Well, preacher, you know, if you've got boundaries and restrictions in your life and standards in your life, that there's no love there. Is that a fact? Don't put looseness under the umbrella of love. A lot of people says if you really love, you'll be tolerant. Brother Mark Green, our adult Bible teacher at our church, he said, Indifference is not love. That is being tolerant. You're not loving people by being tolerant. You're not loving people by being loose with them and allowing them to be loose. That's not, does a parent that allows their child to be loose love them? No. Indifference is not love, nor is involvement hate. Getting involved in a matter and say you're wrong and this is sin, that's not hate. Of course, our country's made it that way. Are you listening? But let me just give you these few things here quickly. The first thing I want to share with you about this looseness, losing through looseness. Number one, I notice there is the preaching against looseness. Paul, in verse 10, preached against it. Verse number 21, he preaches against it again. He doesn't change his mind because the clouds got dark. He doesn't change his message because the clouds got dark. When they weren't listening to him, he went and talked to somebody that would listen after long abstinence. Amen? They wouldn't listen, but he went and talked to the God of heaven, and God listened. And he steps back out in the same storm to the same people and preached the same thing. You should have listened to me. The problem of our day, and you know this, is not political. I know we would like to blame Washington and we'd like to blame, you know, this and that and the other, but the problem is not political. The problem is not the parties. The problem is not our president. The problem is found in the house of God. You can look back and see generation after generation, my friend, where preachers. And then the next set of preachers come along, and then the next set, each one of them was getting looser and looser and looser. God knows His people. And God's men are supposed to get their message from God. Isn't that right? And you would think, or I would think that God, knowing the condition of His people, which is pathetic in many cases, very carnal, very loose, you would think that somewhere along the way, Brother Willis, God would lead a man of God to preach against something. I mean, that just makes good sense to me. But how preachers today can preach 52 Sunday mornings, 52 Sunday nights, 52 Wednesday nights, and never seem to get close to nothing. A loose preacher does not love his people. No more than a loose parent loves the child. Amen. There is the preaching against it. Paul never got swayed one bit by the looseness of the crowd. You know one thing Paul didn't even want to do? Come on now. He didn't even want to leave. Well, preachers, they're all loose. I'm leaving. No, you just need to stay in there. Let the storm wear them out, and then they'll hear your message later on. When they find out that it don't pay to be loose, they should have listened to God's man. You need to be there to be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. Paul never had the testimony of bailing out. Even in the text my brother just preached from in Acts 27, when the jailer was threatening to kill himself, he said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." The doors were open. He could have left. They could have fled. But you know what? He said, hey, we're not gone nowhere. Hey, man, we're still here. Thank God for men of God that's got that abiding quality. That'll stay with it. Is it easy? The means of Paul's survival was he got in the secret place after long abstinence and stayed with God and got his strength from the Lord. But there's the preaching against it. The preaching against it. Amen? But Paul stayed focused. Even in chapter 27, let me say this about that Paul staying with it. Paul had such a testimony in verse number 3 that they even let Paul go off the ship and him a prisoner to refresh himself with his friends. You know why? Because they knew he'd be back. Now, if that had been me, I'd went and refreshed myself and my friends, but I'd have been adios amigos. I'd been gone, buddy. You won't see me. But Paul knew that God had him on route, because in chapter 23 he told him, said, you must bear witness before me at Rome, before Caesar. And he knew that. And God was using this to get him there. So he stayed with it. Thank God for a preacher against looseness. Well, we need it. I don't take on missionaries that are loose. Why would I want to support somebody that's going to go to Timbuktu, start churches that preaches against what I stand for? Amen? Amen? That's right. Well, we could really get in a hornet's nest right there, but that's all right. There's the preaching against it. Now, I don't know where all of you go to church, but do you go to a church that's got a preacher that preaches against looseness? If you do, you have got a prize. You have got a treasure. You've got a man of God that is getting more and more scarce to find a preacher that's willing to preach against looseness. But he's not preaching against looseness for a salary. He's not. I don't get any more benefits or any more points. I don't. In fact, I usually get more problems. But we say, preacher, why do you preach against looseness? It's because I care about people losing. See, the people, Brother Robert, the people, all they could see was, we just need to get loose right here. We're tied down right here with this standard. We need to cut that loose so we can get out on the open sea and the south winds that are blowing. And we just need, all they could see was the looseness. But the man of God said, I perceive. The man of God, my friend, walking with God, had some discernment and had some, had some spiritual mind about him and a spiritual vision about him. And he said, hey, I want you to know that it's not just you getting loose. But I want you to know that I can see ahead. It's going to be with hurt and much damage. And by the way, the word damage is the meaning. I looked it up this morning. The word damage means loss. I perceive that this is not just going to be you getting loose, but I see it. It's going to end up with loss. Loss. And I'm telling you, I need preaching against looseness. Because I'm telling you, even as a pastor, if we're not careful, because of the people, we could get loose. And they won't know no difference. I'm not talking about out in wicked sin. I'm just talking about getting slack in some areas. Getting slack in your Bible reading. Getting slack in prayer. Getting slack with your spiritual mind. Getting slack in your desires. And getting slack, you know, in some areas. And most of the people in the pews don't know no different. Are you listening? But thank God, for there are still a few men of God that, my friend, is interested in dealing with what will bring loss in your life, and that's looseness. There's not many left. There's not many left. And that's sad, isn't it? Brother Smith, when I started out, you was already going, Brother Melton. Hey, wasn't it? I mean, brother, it was just, you could look around, and I mean, there'd be preachers everywhere that had some standards in their life and, you know, had some spiritual stability in their life and direction in their life. And I'm not talking about harsh preaching. I'm not talking about, you know, being a Rambo and a John Wayne and a Superman all wrapped up in one. I'm not talking about trying to just see who can be the meanest and the baddest. And amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about preachers that's been with God and get up with a message and preach against looseness. how it affects your marriage, and how looseness will affect your children, and how looseness will affect every area of your life. There's the preaching against looseness. This preacher in our text was Paul, a man of perception. I don't have time to deal with it, but I'm telling you, I'm more and more amazed at just how little discernment that preachers have got. I've preached revivals, Brother Robert, and come to the invitation time, God be moving, conviction in the service, turn it over to the preacher, and he'd get up and tell some joke. Brother Willis, you preach a lot. Have you seen that? I'm telling you, get up and just kill the meat and dead as a hammer. God, I'm moving and working and turn it over to the pastor of all people, and they don't act like they have a clue what's going on. They're unhooked. And they just get up and give announcements. And God moving. Oh, I want, listen, I've made some stupid moves before. Lord help us, I could write a book. But I want to tell you, I hope that I've learned a few things over the years. And I want to be one that can discern and preach accordingly. Now, brother, that's not going to be popular. When you discern in your spirit that this family is in trouble, and that this marriage is in trouble, and that this young lady is in trouble, and that this young man's in trouble, they don't see it. All they're looking at is the looseness. Oh, preacher, man, look at him. I'm having a time. We're loose. We don't have these standards in our life. We're loose. But I can see ahead and see the loss. See the loss. This preacher is a preacher of discernment. He was a preacher with persistence. And I've dealt with that, how he stayed with it. And he wasn't looking to bail out even though they were loose. He stayed with it. And thirdly, he was a man of prayer. We know that. And on we could deal with Paul. But what a preacher. What a preacher that'll preach against looseness. Amen. A real preacher will do that. A real preacher will do that. I said a real preacher will do that. Amen. Amen. We've got people looking at our church right now. They're coming from a church. It's just they're not interested in staying the line. They're interested in going left field. They're interested in adapting their church to what they're seeing off of TBN. And I'll tell you right now, you won't hear none of that crowd preach against nothing. That's exactly right. Oh, yeah, they might in general say something about homosexuality and that needs to be preached against, and what little they do stand on that, thank God for it. But I want to tell you, listen, that's not our standard. I make no bones about it, friend. We've got people in our area, listen, that's taking Baptists off their signs. And still trying to say they're Baptists and taking Baptists off their signs. And Brother Harden, I saw one the other day that Baptists were still on the sign, that they had so decreased the size of the word that you almost had to stop to even see it. I'm not ashamed to be a Bible-preaching, independent Baptist. I'm not ashamed of that. Not ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of a lot of them that are, but I'm not ashamed of what this movement started out to be. And Brother Willis, I want to make a statement here. I know it's on tape, amen. But I will not let that crowd that's gone in the ditch of ultra-separatism quieten my voice down. You hear me? When I'm talking about ultra-separatism, I'm talking about preaching against wire-rimmed glasses and what kind of socks you wear and what kind of tie you wear. And amen. Preach against colored church. Can't be right with God. Show me a verse in the Bible with that. You don't have to study to preach on that stuff. And you certainly hadn't prayed to preach on that stuff. There's not a verse. There's not even anything in the maps that you can deal with on that. Amen? But Brother Harden, I will not. I want it to be on record. I've been saved 29 years. I've been preaching 29 years. I want it to go out again that Brother Barry Ratcliffe will not silence his voice of preaching Bible separation because of the ultra separatists. There's been times, I'm not going to lie to you, there's been times I thought about it because I didn't want to be identified with that. Amen. You know I'm right, buddy, when you can go to a camp meeting and somebody get up and preach on stuff like I just mentioned, and they'll hoop and holler and shout and run the aisles and scream, and the next preacher get up and preach on the redemption of Christ or the blood of Christ or the resurrection of Christ, and that same crowd that shouted about a television or a sock or a tie or something like that, my friend, sit there like a knot on the log. I'll tell you what that is. That is not spirituality. Amen. Amen. And I'm against all that ultra-separatist. Amen. I'm against it. So-and-so preaching for you, well, then I'm not going to have anything to do with you. You know, if you go to this camp, you're not going to be in my camp. Or if you run in this circle, amen, I found out a long time ago, I'm not in a camp, don't want to be in a camp. Amen, I'm not interested. If I don't want to go camping, I'll get in my camper and go camping. I'm not interested in being in a camp and waving somebody else's flag. I'm a child of God. I belong to Jesus Christ. And thank God I want to preach what He says. Say amen right there. That's right. But I'm not going to get in that other ditch either. And brother, I'll tell you, there was a time, Brother Melton, that was tempted to do that. Just because I wanted to get as far away from that other. All that old gunslinging. See who can be the meanest. Even if you have to use words that are identified, I believe, as cuss words. Are you listening? And call people names. Amen. And that's right. Threaten to beat them up and all of that. Hey, I want to tell you, that's not what the Bible says. You don't have to listen. You don't have to be in that crowd to be bold. You don't have to be in that crowd to be spiritual. Oh, yes, amen. But I don't want to get in that other ditch where I never preach against nothing. I don't want to get in the other ditch where I'm classified as a stinking liberal. I don't want to be a Pharisee, but I don't want to be a liberal. But I found out even coming down here, you don't have to get in the ditch, praise God. There's plenty of road to drive in. Amen. Well, how in the world I got on all that? But there's the preaching. Paul didn't let the storm shut him up. Paul didn't let the crowd not listening shut him up. I know a lot of times when I get in the pulpit to preach, but hey, man, that's right. Old Brother John back here, he's done getting ready to jump in the hot water, sure enough. I told him, I was trying to get his attention while Brother Robert's preaching. He never would look over my way. I was going to tell him, you better listen to that. Amen. Amen, that's right. Oh, God, help us to be straight and tell it right. There's times, Brother Willis, there's times that when I go to the pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I know that what I'm going to preach, they're not going to like it. I mean, how can you be in a place 18 years? That's for me, Brother Willis, how long you been there? 30 years. How can you be in a place that long without knowing the people? And when you study in that Bible, you don't study to find stuff. But I'll tell you, the Word of God is given to you, and God gives it to you, and God says, preach it. And you know before you ever get in the pulpit that this is going to deal with this person, and this is going to deal with that situation. But you've got to preach it anyhow. Why? We're more concerned about people not losing. Amen. We're more concerned about that than we are their feelings. I'm more concerned about their future. Where they're going to be in a year. Where they're going to be in 5 years. There's the preaching. I've got to hurry. Not only, and there's a lot. I'll tell you, I can preach a lot more on that. The preaching. Preaching against looseness. And it was motivated. His preaching against looseness was motivated because he knew that if they went that loose direction, that there was going to be loss associated with it. Much loss. Much damage. The word damage means loss. A second truth I'd like to share, just get you to think about, It's not only the preaching against looseness, but there's the progression of looseness. One thing led to another, and this led to that, and this led to this. And listen, you go to the end of the chapter, and what started out to be a ship was nothing but pieces. What started out to be a ship carrying cargo and going in a direction and had purpose and all of that, now it's nothing but just shattered pieces and it wasn't nothing but just shambles. Are you listening? Hey, listen, you know why that, all that, where that come from? If they'd have listened to the man of God as he dealt with looseness in the beginning, would have spared that. Would have spared that. But the progression. Here's just three thoughts I wrote down on the progression. Looseness leads to leaving. They unhooked because they had plans on launching. They don't get loose to hang around. You don't get loose to stay with it. You're getting loose because you want to leave. I thought about that colt tied. No telling where that colt would have been if it hadn't been tied. I appreciate your church. There ain't no telling where that colt would have been. But thank God he was tied. Thank God he was tied and had the same tides on him that his parents had. Amen. Amen. And it kept him in a zone, kept him in a location so that when Jesus had need of him, they knew where to find him. Amen. Oh, when you go to a church that's preaching it right, my friend, that's just God trying to get you and keep you in a place that he can use you when he needs you. Amen. But looseness leads to leaving. They got loose because they was planning to sail. That's another reason I preach against looseness, because I know what's next. Leaving. Oh yeah, when you see them changing and altering and throwing this aside, laying this aside. I told a lady in our church back years ago, I seen looseness coming in her life. And I said, and me and my wife went and sat in her living room, and I told her, I said, look, we're seeing some things in your life. This is what's happening. This is where you, oh no, not me, preacher. Not me, preacher. I won't do that. No, not me. You know, because all you can see is the looseness. You can't see the loss. I can see the loss. Are you listening? Come, ended up, her husband's gone, and her children's gone, and she ended up. And I told her, I said, look, what you'll do when you start getting loose and you start throwing this standard away and this conviction away, amen, and this away and that away. And by the way, if God's ever told you it's wrong, it's still wrong. Amen. If God's ever dealt with you about something, he'll never change his mind. Amen. And I said, look, when you start backing up, you'll start seeing things that you laid aside. And they'll look interesting and they'll look appealing and you'll start picking them back up. And she said to me and my wife, no, I won't never pick that back up, preacher. And she ended up going back and getting out of church. And of course, she's right with God now and got back in church and doing great. I mean, doing great. Wonderful. Doing wonderful. But she told me when she got back in, she said, preacher, you remember telling me that if you went this direction, you'd pick this up and pick that up, and you'd go here and you'd do that. And I didn't believe it. I said, no, not me. I said, I remember. She said, not only did I pick all those things back up, but I went far exceedingly worse. Now, why would me and my wife, why would we want to go to her house and confront her about how she's living? Why? Because I saw loss. I saw losing in attached to her looseness, Brother Hardin. Amen. Not only the progression is that looseness leads to leaving, but looseness leads to labor. The Bible says in verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. They got loose, and as a result of that, of course, they hit the storm, and it caused extra labor and work in their life. They had to deal with a lot of things and work and labor to fix things that weren't necessary had they listened to God's man. So there's another progression. Looseness leads to labor. Looseness, thirdly, leads to lightening the ship. You're not just loosing. You're going to leave. And then you're going to have a bunch of labor in your life, dealing with a lot of extra unnecessary things in your life. But also there's going to be the lightening of the ship, as found in verse 18, and being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Next day they lighten the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They intentionally and knowingly started throwing things aside. The progression of loosing. The progression of looseness, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And on you could go with that. Looseness leads to lostness. Getting loose, you start losing. And then, of course, last of all, you can deal with the pieces. I was going to deal with the process, but deal with the pieces. Didn't have to end up that way. Didn't have to end up that way. If they had listened to God's man and stayed where God wanted them to stay and said, you know what, regardless of how the circumstances, regardless of what the crowd says, regardless, I'm standing with my man of God. Man of God says don't sail, we're not sailing. My man of God says don't sail, we're not sailing. He says he perceives that there's hurt and damage in our future if we go this direction of looseness. I'm listening to God's man, we're not going. Losing through looseness. God help us to just be challenged afresh and anew against this very modern appeal of looseness. Brother Willis, I've been knowing you for years. Brother Smith, I've been knowing you for years. Brother Milton, knowing you for years. And of course, now I can say I've been knowing a lot of people for years. Brother Bryant, Brother Mullins, I mean, I've been knowing you for years. And Brother Caldwell, I mean, I've just started naming people, but I mean, just over the congregation, I know preacher after preacher and person after person that I've known for years. And you know one thing I can say about several in this building, I mean, a bunch in this building? You're still where you started. Brother Willis, you're still preaching the same way. I mean, he's growing in depth and content. Thank the Lord. No, I'm just kidding, preacher. I'm just kidding. He forgot more than I'll know. But he, listen, he may not be but 4 foot. I mean, how tall are you? 5'6"? 5'6". But I'm going to tell you, when God gives that man to preach on sin, he will rip it up. But then if you get up and get you shouting and running the aisles. But when God wants him to deal with something, he'll deal with it. Brother, I commend you for that. That is, you're my mentor. You're my mentor. Brother Mullins, you're a mentor to me. Brother Bryant, you're a mentor to me. Brother Hardin, great war horse of the faith. Great soldier of the cross. Been preaching how many years? 60 years. I'm just a very young 49. He's been preaching 60 years. And Brother Hardin, I salute you. Staying with the stuff. Still preach it right. Still preach against sin if the Lord leads. Amen. I like it. Brother Smith, I appreciate you staying with the stuff. Staying with the stuff. Even in a foreign country. Culture's different, but staying with it. Don't cater. Don't listen to the voice of looseness. Because there's another voice that you're not hearing. And that's the voice of losing through looseness. I want to finish right, don't you? Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your goodness to us. Lord, help us, God, I pray. Lord, help us, I pray, to not listen to the temptations and the voice of looseness, because there's loss involved in that. Throughout this chapter, they lost. They constantly was going down and throwing things away. And they finally wound up in the end of the chapter with nothing but just pieces left. Father, I pray you take the message and use it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, you come.
Let's stand. I'll ask the pianist to come just for a moment.
I'm just going to open the altar up. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about something, give you an opportunity to respond.